Wow. That'll get you excited, won't it? Oh, that was weak. That was weak, wasn't it? I said, that'll get you excited, won't it?
Yeah.
All right, there we go. Yeah, right. Boop and holler a little bit. That's right. Well, here's, if you couldn't tell, the music, you know, normally we kind of bring you to that point of reflection, you know, to think about the goodness of God. But today's a little different. We've kind of kept it up. Because as we have thought about this series that we've been in so many ways that life has been paused, in so many ways that we have just had to stop doing, or even when we didn't have to necessarily, sometimes we did, we've been encouraging each week to unpause your life in some way or another, where it's listening to God, looking for God, joining God, obeying God, coming back to life, all those things. We're encouraging you to unpause. And today, we're encouraging this. It's time to unpause celebration. Or we could just say unpause partying, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because that's what we're talking about.
We took away the ability to party. We said no more than 10 in a room for a long time.
That's right. That's right. And that's a safe thing to do.
Yeah.
And we're not saying, seriously, guys, if you don't pay attention to the numbers, you probably should. I mean, yesterday we had the highest case ever. So be smart about this.
Right.
But we're here in this room, and we are socially distanced. The doors are open. We've got some airflow going. And we are going to unpause a little celebration today. We recognize that for many of you, there were life events, milestones that you hit that you weren't able to necessarily enjoy or celebrate.
A lot of people missed a lot of fun things, or they had to totally limit what they did in those celebrations.
Absolutely. And so today we're going to just recognize that, and we're going to start with that. And if you're online, we just want you to type in me, or that's me, or whatever, just to identify yourself, because we're going to start with this. How many of you, okay, COVID officially started, shutdown happened, what, March 15th?
March 15th.
Okay, March 15th. How many of you had a birthday between today and March 15th? Anybody? Stand up. Let's see you. We want to see it.
Are we
so,
ready?
So here we go. We want to acknowledge your birthday. You ready?
All right.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
All right, give them a hand.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, so here's the second question really quick. Who had a wedding anniversary between March 15th and today? Stand up. All right, let's see here. Wedding anniversary. No, you didn't have an anniversary.
Sit down.
You didn't have an anniversary. Sit down. We're getting you next. All right, how many years?
Us?
Yes.
Not 8.
Love that you had to think about it. Josiah, how many years?
11.
How many years?
Six.
All right. How many years, Lindsay? 5.
2.
Scott? 25. Woo! That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Edwin?
2.
Rachel?
7.
Peterson's at the back?
10.
Clark's had 25 as well. Let's give these people a round of applause. Yeah. Okay, so to celebrate, here's what we've got. We've got other things to look at, but while we continue on, we've got some helpers here that are going to bring around some cupcakes for you. They are masked and they have gloved hands, and we want to celebrate with some cupcakes today. So
I had a child once tell me, it's not a party if there's not cake.
There you go. So now it's a party.
That's right.
Okay, so here's another question. Go ahead, Ryan. You can ask this one.
Yeah. Raise your hand. We'll be done with standing. Raise your hand if you had a child or a grandchild or a great-grandchild born. Do we have any of those in the room? Okay, we're going to have a lot more hands in that service. We know one person will
raise
like 3 hands.
And we may have more hands in this room in about 6 months, so.
That's true. That's true. Okay, and then raise your hand if you graduated and had that paused by COVID. Come on, Liz, yeah, there.
Maddie B graduated.
That's right. With his bachelor's.
Yep. Awesome.
And then we come to the last one.
Yep, last one. So we want to know, you guys stay seated right now, but weddings. Now, weddings, this is a very interesting one because this is an important day and you like to celebrate with as many people as you possibly can, but COVID kind of prevented that. And we actually had 3 weddings as a part of our church during COVID. Two of them are going to be on the screen. You see Savannah and then Rosga. That is, of course, Scott and Lynn's daughter. Yep. And new son-in-law, which is awesome. And then we have Megan and Josh Stubbs, which are a part of this service that are not haven't come back. And that's okay. Hopefully they're watching us online today. And so we celebrate them. But we do have a couple here in the room that actually got married during COVID.
Yeah,
stand
baby,
up.
Stand up.
Stand up.
Yeah.
There you go. Awesome. Congratulations to all those weddings. Now, doesn't it feel like even with us celebrating right now that, we kind of did hit the pause on all these things. Yeah. We didn't really celebrate these things like we wanted to.
Right.
And but we wanted to bring back celebration this morning because it's important. Yeah. It's very critical because without celebration, we lose hope. And today, that's the whole focus of what we're going to be looking at.
Yeah, as we look at Scripture, the Bible actually is a book of parties and celebrations. We don't think about that. We think it's somber. But from the very beginning, like as God's giving the law, and when you think of the law, you're like, oh, those are the boring parts of the beginning of the Bible. I try to scan
everybody
through
that thinks
if
that,
I touch
but you.
It all. I'm like, yeah, this is great. What can I get for sermon material here? But like God put in there three parties that everybody was supposed to come back to Jerusalem or to the tabernacle, wherever it's at, to celebrate what God has done three times a year. It was so important. It wasn't like, well, if you think of something good, he was like, no, we are scheduling this into the calendar. We're scheduling Passover so that you remember that I'm the God that took you out of Egypt. Mm-hmm. The Red Sea parted. There was dry land. You walked through. Don't ever forget. Every year, we are going to party, and we are going to celebrate what God did for us. And then they celebrate the beginning of the harvest at the Pentecost, and they celebrate the end of harvest.
And I think it's the end of harvest, which is the awesome one, because that's like a seven-day party. It's not even like a one-day party. It's a seven-day party. Now, look. You need to understand that because that tells you God knows how to party. He's right. Like, we're not just getting this over in one day. We're going to celebrate for a week. And so I think that's so important for us to remember. And then it's not just in the beginning books of the Bible. You continue to see it all through. Jump over to the book of Nehemiah. If you've never read Nehemiah, great story. You know, the people have been taken off into captivity. And Nehemiah sees that the walls have been destroyed around the city. And he goes and he says, I want to rebuild the walls. And the king says, yes. And so they go back. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, this verse is going to be on the screen. It says, Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Isn't that an impressive, incredible passage to think about? Just look at that. For the joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. It's a reminder for us that there is something that happens within us physically if we don't ever celebrate. If we don't find joy, if we just are hopeless, something physically happens in our minds and in our emotions, and it zaps us. Anybody felt wiped out during COVID more than once? Ooh, just like lay in bed and think, I don't want to get out of bed. That's what COVID does to you too. You would know, personal experience there. Yes, but here we're reminded that it's that the joy of the Lord, when we see the goodness of God, when we celebrate the goodness of God, when we party, there's joy that happens and there is strength that comes to our spirit. There's strength that comes to us physically, all because we realize the importance of celebrating.
Right. And there's another big reason the Bible tells us we should celebrate, and that's in Luke chapter 15. It's a famous chapter. You've got the story of the lost sheep, maybe you've heard, and the lost coin, and the lost son, the parable
of the prodigal son. Yeah.
Right. And when you read that, there's when the son comes back and the father sees him, he's so excited that his son came back. He runs, he greets him, he kisses him, he gets the ring, he gets the robe, and he says, we are going to throw an enormous party because my son who was once lost is now brought back. And you see in the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin, it says there's more partying in heaven when one sinner repents and comes back to God. Like that's a huge reason why as followers of Jesus, we're to celebrate, is because ultimately anytime we see somebody come to new faith, and during COVID, God's still been doing that. People are coming to faith and people are strengthening their faith. And so that's just one more piece of the celebration we see in Scripture.
Yeah, and there's more too, because you go over to Galatians when the Apostle Paul writes about what it means to be filled with the Spirit and exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. And Paul talks about how the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy is a part of that, that if we are filled and walking with the Spirit, joy, celebration should be a part of that. And you know, we'll keep going here. Keep going, man.
Okay. So, and then ultimately, the problem, I think, when you look at what sometimes pastors have taught in Christian circles, is that to be a Christian means you need to be very serious. You need to be
somber.
Very somber.
Yes.
You need to take your sin very seriously. Actually, that Nehemiah passage, the reason it talked about the grief is because they read the law and everybody felt so bad for their sin. And I actually was reading a book, it's a collection of sermons by a guy that I really like, this preacher. He's from England. And he took 60 weeks to go through Matthew chapter 5. So it was very lengthy. But he actually took the verse, Matthew 5:4, that says, "Blessed are those who mourn." And he said, "Therefore, all Christians should have an attitude of mourning all the time for their sin." And I read that and I was like, wait, what?
That sounds
Wait,
awful.
Wait, you're teaching all, to be a Christian, you need to put away joy and because, all the verses that talk about it.
To be fair, there's nothing that would encourage people to want to be a Christian more than to see a bunch of somber
right.
people
so
all the time.
We are unpausing that train of thought. Maybe you've heard that before. To be a Christian means you should always have your sin at the front of mind, leaving you with a feeling of somberness and I'm not worthy. But that's not the God that we worship. The God that we worship wants us also to be people who rejoice, people who celebrate, people who recognize what he has done. And ultimately, because of what he's done, we don't have to worry about our sin. We can be people who celebrate the cross and what it has done for us in washing away our sins, as opposed to being people who just remember all the bad things we've done.
And so we can sing songs like "Who You Say I Am" with a smile on our face, because we recognize that God is the one who gives us our value, and because of what he's done, we are who he says we are. And we can sing songs like "Death Was Arrested and We Are Free," and we can sing those joyfully because of what God has done. When you turn to the Old Testament again and you look at the songbook in the Old Testament, which is the book of Psalms, there's several of these we could have picked, but we just chose Psalm 145, and I want you to look at it on the screen. It says, "They tell of the power of your awesome works." We're talking about God. The people are talking about how awesome he is. And the writer here says, "And I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness." They celebrate and joyfully sing. That doesn't sound like a God who says, "Now here's what I want you to do. I just want you to be somber all the time. I want you to go around sullen. I want you to go around hanging your head low because of how horrible you are." And we've talked about this before at Ashworth, about how there was that season that people just said, you know, you should just glory in how horrible you used to be. Nobody wants that. That isn't something that the world looks at and says, "Yeah, I want to be a part of that." No, we're called to be a people of celebration because our God is a God of celebration. And we know that we have paused far too long.
Right. Yeah. And it's natural to go through those seasons. Yeah. I mean, we understand life is a roller coaster. It's got its ups and its downs. Mm-hmm. Ecclesiastes, you know, has that famous passage in chapter 3 about, you know, there's a time for everything under the sun, and you maybe are familiar with that. And so it's natural for us to have those moments where we do feel bad. We do feel like, "Ugh, this is heavy, God. This is tiring." If you've had that feeling, don't feel guilty about it. That's natural. It's part of being human. But what Scripture shows us is we don't live there. We don't stay there. In Psalm chapter 30, verses 11 and 12, we see the passage, "You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever." There's this picture where David's like, "Yeah, I lived there. We've all lived there." But even when you're in that dark moment, when you're like, "Oh, this can't get worse," to just know that ultimately God is there to lift you up.
And that's exactly right. It's such an important point. It's not like we're saying you won't ever experience that. There aren't lows. There absolutely is. And we're not saying we ignore it and act like it doesn't exist. No, that is part of the human experience. But what celebration does is it says God's desire is not to bypass your misery. God's desire is to transform your misery, to do something with it, other than just leave it and you go, well, this is horrible. He says, no, I can use what you've been through, that pain, that sorrow, that difficulty, the mourning, the wailing that you have, I can turn it into dancing. Mm-hmm. And how many of you would think today, after the last, 9 months we've been through, I'm ready for a little dancing. Yeah. I'm ready for a little celebrating over what God can still do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, part of this is a reminder, too, that as we look and think about this, it's not that we're asking you, as I said, to just check your brain at the door. We're not saying just to, well, nothing's happening bad in the world and everything's great, so we're just going to party. No, we're not asking you to celebrate nothing. You can't celebrate nothing. That's just stupid, to be honest with you. You know, what we're saying is that see who God is. See what God has done. See what he said about you, and let that be your reason for celebrating. I am convinced that oftentimes our eyes are our biggest enemy because we see what we're looking for. And when we look out into the world and we want to see sadness and despair and depression, that's what we see. Mm-hmm. But when we begin to reorient our perspective and we say, you know what I want to see? I want, as we spoke in this sermon series, I want to see God moving. Mm-hmm. I want to see the hand of God. I want to see the activity of God in the world around me and in my own life. And when you begin to tune yourself to that, guess what you begin to see? What? You begin to see God.
Yeah.
You begin to see God. And so as we begin to unpause celebration, we're encouraging you really to just take a moment and say, what are you looking at? Mm-hmm. What are you looking at? Because there's a lot that we can celebrate in the world.
Yeah, some people try to celebrate to forget. They're like, I'm going to the bar to try to forget the bad things in my life. And we're saying as Christians, no, we celebrate the source of goodness in our lives. Because, we celebrate what he's done.
Because going to the bar to try to forget and celebrate that way, it doesn't do any...
It leaves you empty.
Well, and everything is still there. When you come down, when you wake up from the blackout or whatever that you've had, everything is still there. And what we're saying is that we see something equally real and more powerful than the negative things that are happening around us in the world. None of us understand COVID. None of us. And anybody, any preacher that tells you they do, turn it off because they're not truthful. We don't understand what's going on. And you know what? Part of Christianity is learning to live in that tension. It's learning to live in the world that says you don't have an answer for everything, but I know the one who does. And so instead of focusing on the problems, it's not like I'm ignoring COVID. No, it's real. It's there. It makes me sad. The numbers are crazy. But I choose to look at that, but I choose to focus on God. Mm-hmm. Who gives me a reason to celebrate.
Yeah, and so as a result, we take ourselves a lot less seriously in that. Like,
yes.
So often we make ourselves the center of everything, and so we're like, this is terrible. But when you start looking at celebration from that perspective, you're saying, okay, I'm just one piece in this, and I'm seeing God's bigger story.
And taking ourselves less seriously, especially during an election season,
is important.
Is, I think, a spiritual practice.
It's challenging.
I mean, let's just, really, right? I mean, we need to be able to laugh at ourselves and laugh with, not at, but with one another. We can't allow this to get away from us and not take ourselves so seriously we think, well, I'm right. It's okay. We're still brothers and sisters, and we love each other, and we can laugh together. So I think that's so important right now. Yeah.
So the big question we want to ask all of you to start thinking about right now is, how has God been good to you? If we were to say, today at lunch, celebrate what God's been doing in your life over COVID, right now take a moment and think about, what has God been doing in your life for you that's a blessing in these last 6, 7, 8 months?
Yeah.
Is it eight now?
It's probably 27.
Yeah, we're pushing 8 months. It's been a long time. So, Brent, I'll ask you, what has been, while you guys think about this?
Yeah, and if you're online, we want to encourage you. Type in the chat window. We want to see what your responses are as well. Because that question, how has God been good to you? I would say this. God has been good to us because our family, we have a couple people in our family that are high risk, and so far we've been very healthy. Yeah. And that's really quite miraculous, I think, because I'm still out in the job. I have two kids that are working at Hy-Vee out in the public in a job. And so, you know, just health right now is a way that God has been really good to us.
For me, I'd say, you know, we've all experienced a slowdown in the rhythm of our lives. And it's been just nice having less to do, having less on the to-do list, fewer places to go, fewer things on the weekends, just having more time to sit and rest and relax and enjoy our backyard and a beautiful summer day. Whereas normally in the summer, you don't get that. You're like, got to do more, take the kids here, take the kids
Well, especially from our jobs, when it comes fall time, it's gearing up, and it's, and it has been. We look at the calendar, there's a lot less on it than there's ever been, and you know, even for me, I'm out of the office a little bit more right now. I wasn't early COVID, but I am able to do that now, and it has been nice. I agree
with you.
So
are any of you willing to share a blessing that God has shown you, anybody? Be brave.
Yeah. Go ahead,
right.
Tim. That's awesome.
That's so cool, Tim. Thank you. Anybody else?
Hey, Jordan, can they hear that online if people answer from the crowd? Or do we need to kind of repeat that? Probably not. Tim shared that this time has really brought his family together. Mm-hmm. And through what could have pulled apart, it's really brought them much closer, which is awesome. Anybody else? Yeah. Don't be shy. Go ahead, Jude.
So we were able to sell a house in the middle of COVID and buy another house. And the timing of that was just crazy, and thank God for it. And we were in an accident. Our car got totaled, but everybody's safe and healthy, so praise God.
Yeah. So I'm repeating for the folks online. They sold a house and bought a house during COVID that went pretty quickly and smoothly. And they were also in an accident that totaled their car, but everybody was okay. And so that's praise God for that.
Yeah.
Who else? Go ahead, Garrett.
I still have a job, which I'm really grateful for. And I forget sometimes lots of things have happened, but I'm able to keep working from home. Mm.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Garrett got a job or had a job and has kept the job. Yeah. And I think that's a great reminder, Garrett, for those of us that haven't been laid off. Mm-hmm. There are so many millions that have been laid off, and food insecurity is just skyrocketing in our country. And we praise God for that, for the goodness that we've.
So hopefully you all have something over lunch you can say before you eat. Say, God, thank you for, and celebrate what God has done. But we turn now, you know, we think about so often what God's done in our lives individually. But we have to look as a church. What has God been doing in the life of our church? Because while we maybe put our lives on pause a little bit, God never hit the pause button on the ministry that he wanted to do through Ashworth Church. So we have a number of things that we want to celebrate that God's been doing.
We're excited to share them with you because we know that especially now it's been more difficult for us to let you know what's going on. As you know, part of this COVID season has been the racial tension that has just exploded again. Not to say that it wasn't there to begin with, but it's just brought to the surface again. And one of the things we wanted to do as a church was to step into that and say, how do we help increase awareness and increase conversation among different people so that they can understand? And so we started a group back in August called Be the Bridge, and Pastor Amy led that group for us. And we had 12 people, I think, that came every Tuesday night. They sat in this room in a big circle, socially distanced, and the entire purpose of that was to listen to one another, to share experiences, and walls were broken down, and relationships were formed, and understanding happened, and I can tell you, if you want to know more, ask Amy. I know that if you were in that original Be the Bridge group, raise your hand. Scott was in it, the Nobles were in it. There were several more that were in it. It was amazing. And every week after the meeting, Amy would text me and Ryan.
Yeah, the stories
we'd have
awesome.
Story after story of how God had just moved. And we actually have continued that on. Steve and Sally Rogers, who are part of our classic service, are leading a group right now on Thursday nights called Be the Bridge 101. And it's not a diverse group. It's really more just a bunch of white folks that are coming together to try to understand more about what it means and to own our own stuff in the racial tension that's going on. And again, every Thursday night, we get a text message about how amazing it was. You know, the second picture up there is me in the back of a semi a couple weeks ago. We were contacted randomly and said, hey, we've got 1,100 food boxes coming from the USDA Farmers to Families program. Can you help us get rid of them? And from 9 a.m. to noon, we gave out 1,100 boxes of food. Some people came through. My wife was one of them, and she picked up like 20 boxes and started going to neighborhoods and go, do you need food? Do you need food? And it was amazing. I mean, it was such a huge day. We also got to partner with some of the Converge churches in town. That's the denomination we're part of. Right. And such a great, sweet partnership there. We asked you guys months ago to help us with disaster relief funding. We saw all these things happening in our country and around the world, and we said, would you help us? We were looking for, what were we looking for? Like $2,500 or something small.
Yeah.
And we raised over $10,000. Yeah. I mean, you guys, that generosity is just, and then as I said earlier in the welcome, you guys are amazing just in how you continue to give and support the church, which in turn supports all of our missions partners each and every month. And that is such a huge, huge thing.
Right. And now we've got ministries, you know, we kind of look and we know we've paused some of the ministries we're doing, like coffee and donuts. I know all of you have noticed that on Sunday mornings. But like kids and youth ministry is still going. Youth has been phenomenal as we've kicked off, and the kids who are coming are committed and they love it. And I've got amazing leaders that are coming, and we're finding ways to do fun things socially distanced. So we had a game of soccer where they couldn't leave their space and they were spaced out 10 feet apart. It was the slowest game of soccer you've ever seen, but it was fun. Carrie was doing Zoom calls for a long time with kids ministry, and that was working really well. I mean, these families were consistent in getting online, and they were able to keep doing ministry. And even right now, we've got kids ministry back and going together. And the Zoom call still going for those who can't come. Yeah. And so it's like we forget that these things are going on if we don't have our own families a part of it. Additionally, women's ministry had a brunch while the weather was still really nice outside, and they took time to enjoy that. And so as a church, we've been looking for different ways that we can stay socially distanced, stay outside if possible, up until now, obviously, and to just let God and His Spirit continue to work through us as a church. We also, the week after COVID hit us, we were going to be launching our chapel. And so that we'd been working on for 3 months. It maybe didn't launch then, but we've got our second service, our classic service, worshiping in the chapel now every week. The people who come to that room tell us, they're like, we love this room. We love the feeling of closeness that we're not a small service in a big room. We love what you've done. We love this service together.
And we should tell them that like, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had 8 first-time visitors in that service. Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Exactly. Isn't that crazy? God's working through that chapel service. It's awesome.
We've got website ministry. That page there says, give God a second chance. It is our third most visited page on our church website for about a year now. For some reason, Google loves it. Last week, we got an email from a young lady who's like, I've stepped away from God, but I want to know, will God actually give me a second chance? And don't just tell me what I want to hear. Like, you could tell there was rage in this email.
Yeah.
And we got the opportunity for Pastor Brent to respond to her and tell her about God's love and remind her about the parable of the prodigal son and how God chases us down and He wants to have relationship with us. And we didn't, you wrote that blog article or that
was
message,
a sermon, what,
a
3 years ago?
We just put your bad manuscript that's got breaks and typos all over. We threw it online. And it's like, it's ministering to people now all the time. And so it's just, and Ashworth Snow, I think that's the same kid twice, but his mom posts those pictures on our Google page. So I found him and I'm like, this kid loves Ashworth Snow. And if you ever came here in the summer, you know this scratched a need in the community. We had people here every single night. It's such a simple, silly idea that allows us to do ministry for our community.
And we've got some enhancements coming for next year to Ashworth Snow that
I don't even know about.
You know about this one. Okay. That we're really excited about. But, you know, and even if we stop there, isn't that a lot to celebrate? Isn't that a lot to think about how good God has been to us? I mean, just over and over, God has been good. And 3 weeks ago, we put out the call and we said, you know what? It's time for us again to focus on missions. And as we think about missions, let me tell you how this started. Every year we sit in a room and we say, okay, where's a mission need? And we spitball ideas. And I think Pastor Ryan said, what about if we reach out to one of our existing partners, Diamond Willow in South Dakota? We hadn't done anything with them in a little bit. Youth were supposed to go last summer to work there, but couldn't because of COVID and all this. And so we said, Amy, why don't you call Rod and see if they've got a need? And she came back with a list of needs, and one of those was a van. And of course, you know, we love to raise money for a van. We thought, could we actually raise money and buy a van that they get in the same year that we do that? Just a little, you know, if you haven't been here, see me afterwards. We had a little hang up with the Ethiopian government at one point. But we thought, okay, let's say $10,000. We know that's not going to get the most amazing van, but we thought we can get them a really nice van for that. We had some money sitting aside in some other missions money accounts that we thought we could add to it if we needed to. So let's put out the call and say $10,000 for a van. But at the same time, I talked with Scott Oswald and Lynn, and I said, you know, we've got some people that are friends of Ashworth over at Stu Hansen, Dodge, Chrysler, whatever the rest of
the big
us.
Flag.
The big flag, yes.
Under you all the big know flag. It.
And I said, you know, one of the guys that's one of the owners in that dealership, he used to go to church here several years ago. And I said, what if we just said, we weren't asking for anything special. We just said, tell us what we could get if we raised $10,000. Well, one conversation leads to another. And this is awesome, guys. So first off, let me say, I just checked the numbers after the welcome. We've raised $12,000 for missions.
That's awesome.
As of right now. Yeah. And because of, there are seven dealerships that are associated with Stu Hansen. Each one of those seven dealerships decided to chip in and help us. And so this week, tomorrow, Scott and Amy are going to drive a brand new 2020 Dodge Caravan right there on the screen with 30 miles on it. Yep. Have a few more by the time they get to Sioux Falls. But they're going to deliver a brand new van to Diamond Willow Ministries this week.
Yeah, praise God.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
We had no idea. We're just sitting in a room, room five down the hall when this idea comes, and we're just, man, let's see where this goes. And God is good.
Yeah.
God is good, and God has used you guys to help us get to that. And so let's just wrap this up. You know, we just want to remind you today, there's value in celebrating. There's value in celebrating, and not just here. We encourage you to go home. Find reasons to celebrate with your family. Remind your kids. Remind your spouses. Remind your moms and dads, whoever it is. Remind them it's worth celebrating. And let me share with you, because joy is contagious. Joy is extremely contagious. And we need to be the people that are contagious in the world around us. Joy causes joy in others. And let's be those people this next week that go into the world and help others begin to celebrate. And we know this morning that one of the main things that we all get to celebrate is our Savior, Jesus Christ, and what he's done for us. His death on the cross, which is a horrible event, but did so much amazing things for us, and then his resurrection. And so as we wrap up our service today, we're going to close with communion. I'm going to ask the worship team to go ahead and come up.